Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program bearing the same name as a book, Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace, available on Amazon in a Kindle ebook or two-volume hardcover box set. Or patronize your local bookstore and have them order a copy. It's a bunker buster of a book that busts open the catacomb of lies called Palestinian nationalism that brings back to life in this generation's mutant form of Jew hatred, a.k.a. anti-Semitism. In this edition, we shall enjoy a review of four, count them, four pieces of good news last week, enforcing sanity in Israel as much as the rest of the world loses its mind. For example, the so-called nation-state law of last week anchors, as never before, in Israeli law, the claim, the right, of the Jewish people to call this land ours and only ours. It does not belong to any other nation. And if non-Jews in our country, specifically the Ishmaelites, are unhappy with that, as we used to say on the streets of New York last century, tough darts. Of course, a world anti-Jewry consisting of both Jews and Gentiles has huffed and puffed at the implication that the Arabs in Israel do not have the same claim on this land because they are not Jews, which I say is just more anti-Semitic nonsense. Numerous nations claim their country for their nation state, even though there are non-members living among them. Every one of the complaints against this bill was just anti-Jewitis in disguise. We also last week were blessed when the Knesset passed a law that should have been passed decades ago after the post-Jew Chief Justice Aharon Barak commandeered the High Court and claimed the right to defend the enemy against his own people in the name of impartiality. Henceforth, the new law will deny the enemy Arabs here the use of the High Court to resist the growth of Jewish habitation in Judea, a root word deriving from it the word Jew, there and in Samaria. Also good news last week was the decision of the Minister of Education to prohibit anti-Jew Jews in such outfits as Breaking the Silence, that should be renamed Raping the Truth, from entering Israeli schools to accuse Israeli soldiers and civilians living in Judea and Samaria of crimes against the allegedly Neolithic Palestinian landlords. And no less heartwarming, in the name of sanity, was the Knesset bill denying sodomites the right to pay a woman to bear a child with one of their seeds so that they can have a child to help them pretend one of them is the mommy and one is the daddy. And we will get started after the following words from Israel News Talk Radio.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program bearing the same name as a book, Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace, available on Amazon in a Kindle ebook or two-volume hardcover box set, or patronize your local bookstore and have them order a copy. It's a bunker buster of a book that busts open the cesspool of lies called Palestinian nationalism, this generation's mutant form of Jew hatred, a.k.a. anti-Semitism. It's the second day, Yud Aleph, Menachem Av, Parashas Devarim, Tavshin Ayin Ches, 5778, the first day, Monday, 23 July 2018, podcasting from the target of out-of-control Muslim assassins, all of them in the so-called Islamist groups in Gaza, starting with Hamas, which the Israelis won't say is the Muslim Brotherhood, and then there's Islamic Jihad, whose name is self-explanatory, don't you think? Their acolytes say nothing of the need of a Palestinian state. As Muslims, they don't care about that. None of them do. There's also Jabhat al-Nusra and al-Qaeda, ISIS. Just like the PLO in its bloody heyday of the 1970s and 80s, when it included sometimes 18 separate terror cults using political names, today's fashion is Islamic. Hatred of Israel for them is a religious hatred, not a nationalist or a patriotic one. On Friday, the Muslims in the Gaza Strip, using a new weapon produced in Iran and smuggled into the Strip, to kill another nice-looking, smiling, lively Israeli Jewish man, Aviv Levy, 21 years old, Hashem Yikum Damo. All the soldiers on the Gaza perimeter, of course, are equipped with bulletproof vests, but this weapon was designed to defeat them. It seems to be like a sniper weapon, only it, the round that it packs a powerful punch. An armor-piercing bullet? And why was Aviv shot dead on Friday? Because the Jews have no right to rule in Palestine. The Quran calls for Jews to be oppressed and humiliated. For example, for centuries, a Jewish community in a Muslim country had to pay an annual penalty for refusing to convert to Islam in order to continue being Jewish, living a Jewish life. This was called the jizya, the head tax. On a certain day in the year, the rabbi of the community had to present himself before the pasha bearing a major load of coins and also to allow himself to be slapped in the face by the pasha for his insult for not converting to Islam, he and his community. You see, Islam is a form of anti-Semitism. There's not one original idea in it. All its ideas have been pilfered from the Jews, starting with the name Islam. That alludes to the intellectual property theft from the Jews. Islam means submission and refers to Ibrahim, that's a Muslim's mispronunciation of his name, who submitted to Allah when commanded by him to offer up his son Ismail, another mispronunciation, as a sacrifice, which Ibrahim did in Makkah. That spot is the destination of a Muslim pilgrim when he makes at least one Hajj pilgrimage in his life. Hajj is another word pilfered from the Hebrew chag, holiday, from the verb lachug, to go around, to go in circles. In this case, the Kaaba stone in the middle of the Grand Mosque in Mecca. He makes his hajj to this spot where Ibrahim bound his son Ismail for a sacrifice. And you say to a Muslim, hey, wait a minute. In the Bible of the Jews, Abraham binds his son Yitzchak. And by tradition, where the on the spot of the future temple. How do you, Mr. Muslim, explain the two different versions? And he will answer, the Jews stole the story from our Quran and rewrote it. And when you point out that the first five books of the Bible in which this story appears were written down in the 14th century BCE, 2,000 years before Mr. Muhammad was even born, the Muslim will answer that the Musa, that's his mispronunciation of Moshe, Moses, on Mount Sinai, brought down the Quran. And then the Jews took it away from him and rewrote it. They call it their Torah. So when Muhammad, peace be upon him, came along, he restored the original text. And that is today's Quran. So when the Jews say, Ibrahim bound his son Ishak on Haram al-Sharif in Al-Quds, the Jews lie. It's a person who thinks like this that took aim at Aviv Levy, Hashem Yikum Damo, on Friday, and took his life. The shooter was, of course, a Muslim whose brain is poisoned with stories like this one, their version of Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, commonly miscalled by people who don't know the text, the sacrifice of Isaac when there was no sacrifice, which is the whole point of the story. Abraham's God was a different God who did not hate his creation and kill them for sport, as Shakespeare's King Lear thinks. This is a god not interested in human sacrifice, unlike different pagan gods who are indifferent to that. Abraham's God is a merciful God. Maybe you've seen Musab Hasan Yusuf, the so-called Green Prince, or read his book, which I encourage people to do, son of the head of Hamas in Samaria, who became an Israeli collaborator and converted to Christianity. He brilliantly has remarked that the problem with Islam is that its God is a cruel God. He said he loved his father, but the practice of suicide bombing Jews in crowded city buses was beyond the pale for him. These Muslim Arabs have it in their heads that it's okay to murder people like that in public at random, because their own motivations are pure. Allah wants believers to put an end to non-believers until the whole world becomes Muslim and all the religions, other religions, have been destroyed. This is why our latest nice-looking, vital Jewish man in his prime was killed on Friday. My point is that there is in this shooting on Friday absolutely zero military significance. That is, military strikes commonly foresee an end to the fighting, to the war, toward victory. They have a goal. Versus this sniper attack, which has no military significance whatsoever, and the clash of militarily capable people on both sides, what was in operation was sheer psychology. A good word in this case. Psychology is rooted in the Greek psuche, meaning soul. That sniper was driven from feelings deep in his soul that drive him to feel good about shooting a Jew dead. Leastwise, that's how I see things here. The never-ending homicidal aggression against us Jews by these Arab Muslim killers, supported by Persian Muslims and cheered on by European anti-Jews, true to thousands of years of Jew hatred on that continent, the Europeans who support the hundreds of anti-Israel NGOs that operate here, this never-ending aggression by the sons of Ishmael in Gaza and the Philistines, which is rooted in one thing, in their cruel, shallow, corrupt, illiterate culture, their belief in their cruel religion that licenses them to deny Jews the right to live free of Islamic tyranny. The Quran's first substantive chapter is called Baqarah, meaning cow, from the Hebrew bakau, and plagiarized from the Jewish story of the red heifer. It is the longest chapter in the Quran, and it is an anti-Jew rant. Think of today's scandalous behavior in the States by the Democrats and snarling for almost 2 years now about Trump being in cahoots with the Ruskies, when it is now public knowledge that it was Emperor Clintonius, a.k.a. King Billy the Kinky and his consort Hilaria, who pocketed some $145 million, put it in their charitable foundation. I still don't understand how this happened, by the way, how Hillary Clinton had the power to sell 20% of America's uranium supply to the Ruskies, while husband Bill ran his mouth in a speech in Russia at that time and went home with $500,000 in his pocket. You get the picture in the Clintonians accusing Trump of his alleged collusion. So Islam is a rant against the Jews for having stolen the Quran, rewrote it, and called it their Torah. And what's the truth? The opposite. They stole our Torah, rewrote it, and call it the Quran, which, by the way, is another Arabic word derived from Hebrew. It's a twisted version of Kore in Hebrew, reading. The Quran is the reading. The Quran was the first book in Arabic, which did not appear for 2,000 years after the Hebrews began reading the Torah. 2,000 years in which Jews also, given their history, mastered other languages, the languages of Pharaonic Egypt and the Aramaic of Babylon, Greek, Farsi in Persia, Latin. Then along came in the 6th century of the Common Era this incredibly undeveloped Arab man, Muhammad, who does wake up to the superiority of the religion of the Jews in their community. Only his natural reflex and that of his people is to steal it. As their spiritual, if not historic, ancestors, the Philistines, stole the Ark of the Covenant, thinking its contents, the tablets of the commandment, Ten Commandments, were some kind of magical object with supernatural powers that anyone who held it could use it. They did not understand that the value of the contents of the Ark were the words carved into the stone by the finger of God and the concepts embedded in them that were meant as guideposts for the betterment of human society. The tablets were no sword, no Excalibur to be miraculously withdrawn from the stone. The treasure inside were the words, the ideas, beliefs, and values. And it's that same Philistine misunderstanding of Yiddishkeit, of Jewishness, that makes them incapable of sharing the Temple Mount with us. Their rule there is proof that believers in Allah and His final prophet are the true and current chosen people. Allah loves Muslims more than Jews, they believe, and never mind that the very concept of a chosen people is another Jewish idea these violent, still tribal Arabs stole from us.
יום פנק אצל תומר יקרא לכה עליי גומר אמר שומר אתה בוקר וגם לילה המבדיל בין קודש
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
So last week was a bad news week for anti-Jew Jews in Israel and the exile, those mostly non-observant Jews who refuse to leave the exile, yet still demand that their views be respected here. A week ago, Minister of Education, Modern Orthodox Naftali Bennett, a veteran IDF combat officer and self-made multimillionaire in high tech, he ruled in the tendentious and dishonest as usual words of the anti-Jew New York Times that henceforth Israeli schools will not permit, quote, some groups that criticize the Israeli occupation of the West Bank from speaking in them. Rubbish. New York Times is a homophilic anti-Jew operation. The groups Minister Bennett had in mind are well known in Israel, not to be critics of Israel, as the Times suggests, but liars about Israel, on a par with, I'd say, those Jews during the Spanish Inquisition, who not only converted to the religion of sadistic Catholic priests, became priests, and thrived by telling lies about what is in the Talmud that they had studied before they joined the religion of peace and love. We Jews have always had, in every generation, some turncoat Jews, which is normal for most nations. What nation has never had traitors? In fact, we observant Jews have such anti-Jew Jews in our prayers 3 times daily, and have had them in our prayers for almost 2,000 years. They are part of the Jewish nation. These are Jewish Jew haters, mistakenly called self-hating Jews, which is just not so. They love themselves. They hate Jews. And they are bitter that they were born into this chronically despised people. So it was good news that Naftali Bennett laid down the law that telling lies about the Jews in Judea and Samaria, about its civilians and soldiers alike, will not be tolerated in Israeli schools. But of course, the New York Times coverage, being a prime example of the left that needs to believe criticism of Israel is not permitted, not so. Accurate criticism launched by truly pro-Israel people desirous of a better future is not considered anti-Semitism. Accurate criticism is okay. The problem is that's so rare. And what we have instead are lies, constant lies, which is what anti-Semitism in every generation has been. Whopping lies, really delusions, about commonly the conspiracy of Jews and their evil designs against non-Jews. Last week's good news also included passing in the Knesset of the nation-state law that caused anti-Jews in Israel and globally to break out in a rash of sneering and implying it was a racist, fascist law. The excellent jurist Eugene Kantorovich in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was this week, made it perfectly clear that everything in the law has counterparts in numerous other states where a majority people, a majority language group, enshrines in law its own language as the official one, and the minority languages are not so recognized. For example, in Spain, Spanish is official, not Basque, not Catalan. It was amusing to learn of the reactions among the enlightened in our time to this law, anchoring as never before this state's foundational rights, Jewish rights, unique to this country, as surely as other countries with foreign minorities have unique rights. Predictably, the enlightened, the non-observant American organizations, people of Jewish extraction who do not live Jewish lives, they expressed fear that the new law could, quote, undermine Israel's cherished democratic character, exacerbate relations between Israeli Jews and Israeli Arabs, as those between Israel and the diaspora Jews, and indeed impair Israel's international reputation, close quote. Translation, this law was just too Jewish, evidenced by the emphasis on the word democratic as a counterweight to Jewish. Such post-Jews in their lives insist that Israel be not only Jewish, but democratic. Translation, live according to a system of self-government popular among the Gentiles, but not particularly a uniquely Jewish way of life. For sure, democracy is the best form of self-government until the Messiah arrives, but the term must not be misused when it's used to cover up the real underlying complaint. Such non-observant Jews say Jewish and democratic. What they mean is religious and non-religious. They also may mean Jewish and non-Jewish, a conception that denies to the Jews full ownership and sovereignty in the country, and as such is an anti-Jew expression, Jewish and democratic, in their mouths. Such post-Jews, in their behavior and beliefs in the American Jewish Committee, said they were, quote, deeply disappointed because the Arabic language was described as the Spanish might describe Basque or Catalan. AJ Committee was also dismayed that the language in the bill calling for Jewish settlement as a national value, close quote, they saw it as a reworking of earlier language respecting the right of religious people to live among other religious people of their shared beliefs, which, of course, irritates such Americans of Jewish extraction who mistake Jewish identity for a common ethnic identity, one of the hundreds of such ethnic identities in the United States. These are Jews who do not understand that there's a connection between their misunderstanding of Jewish identity and the flood tide of their fellows being swept away into the melting pot. It's a fact. It's not a right. It's not a left-wing or right-wing or religious opinion, but a fact that over the last two biblical generations of 40 years in the States, more Jews have been lost to the Jewish people into the melting pot than the gas chambers in Europe. But as for a third good news item this week, on Tuesday, the Knesset ruled that land disputes between Israelis and Arabs in Judea and Samaria will be adjudicated in the Jerusalem District Court, as all other land disputes are treated in this country. No longer will anti-Jews in Israel, financed in their NGOs by anti-Jew Gentiles in foreign countries and governments, no longer will they be able to go directly to the highest court dominated by non-observant moderns for whom the laws and spirit of Mount Sinai are inferior to the wisdom of the faculty at Yale Law School in New Haven, Connecticut, who bestowed the double-barreled curse of Bill and Hillary Clinton on the world. And for a fourth news item, a welcome piece of good news last week was the Knesset law governing surrogacy for couples incapable of conceiving a child, which law excludes the use of a woman to carry a fertilized egg for a pair of sodomites who want to live in a semi-conscious fantasy that one of them is the husband and the other is the wife, one is the father, the other is the mommy. Thank God there still are in the Knesset, who knows what the future will bring, at least 62 MKs who are willing to block this contemporary criminal insanity of letting sodomites raise children who become the victims of this child abuse. It's happening everywhere in the West, and it is a crime. A young religious woman I know who works in a non-religious Tel Aviv daycare center says the children of these male couples who drop them off in the morning are different from the others in being terribly clingy and needy, obviously because they have no mommy. And that the governments in the West are allowing this to happen, I think, is criminal. This is child abuse. Every child deserves a mommy and a daddy, not two daddies or two mommies pretending to be mommy and daddy. And this behavior exists in Israel is a most miserable state of affairs. Yesterday, sodomites blocked traffic in various parts of the country, lit parades. The brainless and worst Israeli prime minister ever, Ehud Barak, made a spectacle of himself in supporting the sodomites by visiting a Tel Aviv cafe on trendy Rothschild Boulevard, who said their struggle for the right to hire women for this was, quote, an extremely important struggle. Ehud Barak was the product of a commune of atheists. And so for him, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is an old wives' tale, an irrational, superstitious rejection of men sodomizing one another. He also took the time to bash the Netanyahu government for the law denying the high court to today's anti-Jew Jews in Israel and anti-Jew Muslims and anti-Jew post-Christians as a way of driving Jews from their homes. And he no less attacked Minister Bennett for prohibiting, quote, some former IDF officers from entering the schools to talk to children. I always knew Barak was a jerk. Now I see he is a real schmuck. This is the fool who, 20 years ago in campaigning for the prime ministership, appealed to fellow enlightened post-Zionist leftists by saying that if he were a Palestinian, he too would be a terrorist, close quote. This is the pinnacle of enlightened thinking among Israel's post-religious left. The message is that these allegedly archaic Palestinians have a good case against the Zionist movement, so one can understand the anger that fuels their terrorist atrocities, which are righteous because we Jews have no greater right to this land than this prehistoric nation, according to the Ehud Baraks in Israel. Barak spoke out against the narrow-mindedness of this government that also encourages hating foreigners. Barak, the ignoramus, the illiterate in Jewish history, I'm sure, seems not to know that this is an old anti-Semitic delusion that the Bible and the Talmud teaches Jews to hate non-Jews. He also criticized the Israeli government for its nationalism. This guy has the brains of a Bernie Sanders or a Maxine Waters.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Yes, indeed. Last week was a banner week for sanity in Israel on display in those four events. Denying sexual deviance, the right to hire women to produce children for them to indoctrinate in their perverse views. And no less gratifying was the nation-state law that so rubbed the enlightened the wrong way. The ADL in the States worries for Israel's democratic character when, to repeat, being democratic is not Jewish. It's not bad, it's just not Jewish, uniquely Jewish. And again, the ADL complained that there were elements in the law that might lead some to question Israel's commitment to pluralism. But where in either the Israeli Declaration of Independence or the Bible or the Mishnah or the Talmud can one find the word pluralism? The problem with these post-Jews in their anti-Jew behavior as Americans is that they are insufferably ignorant of the reality that their version of Jewishness, reform or conservative, was unknown in over 100 countries where Jews have lived. They have no idea how eccentric they are in their beliefs and behaviors. They have no idea how un-Jewish they have become. In their ignorance, they think classic Jewishness means no room for dissenting opinions when the Talmud is an 18-volume transcript of some of the best minds in Jewish history arguing over the meaning of things. The Reformed Jews whose God is pluralism are simply ignorant of just how pluralistic Orthodox Jewishness really is. For example, among the Ashkenazic Jews of Europe, they produced a Lithuanian Misnagdim versus Hasidic Jews, who among themselves divide among numerous rebbes and sects. Among the Sephardi communities, Spanish Jews, there have been Moroccan style and Tunisian style, Libyan communities, each with their own customs and features, Yemenite Jews, Afghani Jews, Italian Jews, etc. But what unites all of them, what was belief in the holiness of the five books, in keeping the Sabbath, in keeping within the boundaries of the dietary laws with regional variations, a belief in family purity, belief in wearing a tallis and tefillin, phylacteries, versus the Reformed Jews, who are so different and engaging in so little that is uniquely Jewish, no wonder 70% of them marry out. This emptiness of Reformed Jewishness attracts them not at all, and they're absolutely right. Again, in the column of good news items, there is hope. Israel's archaeologists may have some influence, even a decisive blocking influence, against the Prime Minister's renewed commitment to more construction at the site these schismatic American sects want to use to pray at the wall like their Christian neighbors. In sexually mixed company, which behavior was unknown everywhere in the Jewish world for thousands of years, the archaeologists are drawing attention to the possibility of the new construction harming one of the most, and I agree, stirring sites at the Temple Mount. Next to the existing platform is this jumble of massive Herodian building blocks in a disorderly pile that the archaeologists say were the building blocks of the temple itself. The Western Wall, remember, is historically nothing but a civil engineering job way back when to shore up the sides of the Temple Mount and keep them from crumbling and deteriorating, versus this disorderly mound of massive stone cubes that the archaeologists say are from the temple itself that were broken off and lugged across the platform and pushed over the side off the mount. That is how crazy with hatred for the Jews the Romans were in the year 69 or 70 of the Common Era when they destroyed the temple. Which makes perfect sense. The Jews were unique in the Roman Empire for never respecting Rome's demand for loyalty. In Gibbon's classic, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, he lists many peoples the Romans overran we have never heard of. I'm not talking about Druids and Etruscans, people you never heard of, who dissolved into the Roman Empire. For many, it was a major step up in life to shed one's identity and become a citizen of Rome and adopt their ways and adopt their religion, but not the Jews. They respected the achievements of Rome, Romans as scientists and engineers, philosophers and poets, but not for their culture in which, for example, entertainment was watching gladiators dismember one another and kill one another, watching wild animals tear people apart. And of course, the Greeks and the Romans that they replaced were both sodomites and, of course, disappeared from history for that. By the end, the Roman Empire, with its perverted sex life, produced too few able-bodied soldiers to resist the barbarian invasion. So the Jews never gave the Romans the respect they demanded and rebelled constantly against the Roman occupation and made themselves such a problem for the empire, their eventual subjection and destruction of the temple was a cause for building a major arch of triumph in the Arc of Titus in Rome, hard by the Colosseum, celebrating the famous victory over the Jews. And it shows the carting off of the menorah inside the temple, symbol of the Jews, because the Romans understood that at the heart of the Jewish resistance was their fidelity to their religion, their Torah. That's what gave them the fortitude to resist. So not only did the Romans destroy the temple, burning whatever was made of wood, as for the building blocks of stone, in their fury, they not only pulled down the walls, but dragged the blocks to the edge of the mount to throw them down below. So how ironic that today, so many thousands of years later, Reformed Jews who call their meeting houses temples, because they never wanted to return to Israel and build the third and final temple, they should be pushing for an offense against the very stones of the Holy Temple. For those who don't know, so-called Reformed Jews called their meeting houses temples, which was a deliberate founding decision of the movement 2 centuries ago in Germany in order to communicate to their Gentile neighbors they were unlike all those other Jews in the world who prayed, who yearned to return from exile and build the temple. The purpose was to inform their neighbors that they loved Deutschland and they saw themselves as members of the German folk with a philosophy found in Jewishness, perhaps. How weird, no less, that every month a clutch of ignorant, neurotic, Reformed Jewish women arrive at the Western Wall, clutching a Torah scroll they profess to love so much, but of course, as Reformed Jews, they do not believe the Almighty dictated to Moses the Ten Commandments, and no less, they reject the fourth commandment of observing the Sabbath. These women are simply not thinking. Okay, that's it for this week's edition of Phantom Nation, named for the book of the same name, a bunker buster of a book available on Amazon or on order through most bookstores. Once again, today's music was that performed by Hillel and by Carmine Orr and Hillel Frank in their album called Heart and Well. And that's also, they are also the ones who give us the introductory music to Phantom Nation. And as usual, we conclude with the musical magic of Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Bentekoa.
מיד גוי אכזרי אשר קרא לי שוחה את דודים תעורר כל למלא את עם אשר שואל ועוד תובך בבוא גואל לסב זורה נידחה קרא ישה לעם נדבה כל דגול מרבבה יהי השבוע הבא לישוע ולרווחה בת ציון השכולה אשר היא היום גאולה בהירה תהיה ואולה ואם הבנים שמחה מעיינות עזי יזורון ובדויי השם ישורון ומהישע ישבון בצר הנשכח נכה עמך כאברחמן יצפצפו עם לא אלמן הרשם אשר נאמן בהקים חבטה וידידים פליטי חרץ נגינתם יפצחו במרץ בלי צבחה ובלי פרץ אין יוצאת ואין צבחה והיא החודש הזה כי נבואת שמע בבית זה כל ששון וכל שמחה אז הכמלא משאלותינו אמיץ יעשה בקשתנו והוא ישלח במעשה ידינו ברכה והצלחה במוצאי יום גילה שמחה נורא עלילה שלחתי שבי לעם סגולה רווח ססון והנחה כל צהלה ורינה שפתנו אז תרננה, אנא השם, הושיע נא, אנא השם הצליח נא.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.